Ashley Banfield's Banfield debuts tonight. Here's the difference between her and probably you and me. If that was my show debuting nationally this evening, I would not have slept for the last 3 days. She probably got a round and sound night's sleep. Ashley, am I right? You've been down this.
You are so wrong.
You've been to this movie before. This is a can of corn for you. You're going to knock it out of the park, right?
Well, it's a can of wares and beans, I think. I don't know. Whenever you launch a new show, there are a million things you don't expect to go wrong. And I always say the devil's in the details, so I'm always trying to troubleshoot the devil way in advance, which keeps me up at night.
Well, congratulations in advance. I'm really excited about it. I know you are and everybody over there and here in Chicago. We're all kind of anxious for it. It'll be on. I'll give you the channels here a couple of times so that you can write these down. Comcast 223, DirecTV 307, Dish Network 239. If you're not a regular viewer, tonight would be a good night to find those channels this evening and see what's going on, starting with now what won't be a newscast, but a news-based talk show. Right, Ashley?
It's really, honestly, John, a reboot of the Larry King Hour kicking off at 9 your time, 10 Eastern, where, you know, you've had the news sort of bombarding you all day. And then at that time, it's time to just kind of exhale and take in an in-depth conversation with somebody who's really risen to the top of his or her game. And tonight it's a guy who's fresh off a Golden Globe win last night, Aaron Sorkin.
Nice. Oh, that's a good get, because I would imagine. See, that's perfect, because it's not politics. It's not hard news, but it's current news. It could be hard news. And that's a good get. That's very timely.
It's perfect. I mean, we're going to be literally, you know, within 24 hours of him actually finding out that he won for best screenwriter for Chicago 7. And, it really wraps up all the things that are my bailiwick. It wraps up courtrooms, because I've been in one for the last 15 years.
Right.
It wraps up, the crisis in the news that we just dealt with on January 6th, because Chicago 7 is pretty much about that kind of unrest and then going after people legally for it. And then it also wraps up just my love of this kind of writer and this kind of, he's not just a screenwriter, he's also a playwright and he's also a director. He's just one of those people, I just want to know what makes him tick, because I just want a little bit of that.
So now you're on for an hour, but sometimes if this were Larry King's show, Aaron might be on for a half hour and somebody else might be on for the second hour, half hour. Is he going to be with you the whole way?
Aaron will be with me for the whole hour, and I'm pretty committed to full hours. And you're right. We also plan to follow Larry's lead, because there will be times when the news will trump the large guests that night. And I think, January 6th was a very good example of that. I remember going on the air with the News Nation team and doing play-by-play on what charges I could see unfolding as people were breaking glass. And so that's the kind of thing that I want to be able to do as well. When news breaks, because I've been at this rodeo for 33 years, I do have sort of a, I have a spidey sense for a lot of things that are happening and might happen and might result, or at least some bigger perspective on a 30,000 foot view of what that story is. So yes, we will do the same thing that Larry does.
I have a confession to make. I did watch News Nation's coverage that day. And when they went to you, I thought, why is she spending so much time on the charges and what the criminal repercussions for these people could be? I thought, I don't know where this story's going, but really you're there. And you had details, you had years, you had penalties. And I think that's the lingering part of that story now. I mean, talk about spidey sense. I am very interested in what's going to happen to those people. And you were talking about that as it was unfolding.
Well, and I can see now that we're getting closer to a murder conspiracy as well, which, the tragic loss, losses of people that day. The story that I love to tell people that just sort of leaves jaws on the ground is that you don't have to pull a trigger to be the person who ends up with a death penalty in a murder case. You could be the getaway driver. And the bank guard, you brought the robber to the bank, and the robber went in, and the bank guard shot the robber dead. And you, as the driver, can now be up on murder. It's the most bizarre backwards thing you could actually imagine, right? It's the bank guard who shot the robber dead. But the truth of the crime is, if you die, if there's a death during the commission of a crime, you're up for that death for murder. So you look at the Capitol and you look at the frantic frenzy and the people who conspired to do certain things. I'll lift your foot up and you get up on this, or let's meet at this place and bring a weapon. Those are the kinds of things that when that young woman died while trying to climb through a broken window and was shot by a security agent, that can still end up being murder, and not for the security agent, for the people who were helping her get through. And that's the kind of thing that I see as it's happening.
Yeah. I watched that video. I finally was able to see it a couple of weeks ago, and he was very close to her. And I'm not second guessing his judgment at all. But if he fired the gun at her at that point, and he doesn't know what's behind her, and he knows what's behind him, so he needed to use some force to sort of quell this mob. But I'm just amazed that more shots weren't fired. That could have been a bloodbath that day.
I'm shocked that more shots weren't fired. And it has been determined that that security agent is not, at this point, in any infraction of the law, because he was doing his job. And there was a congressman, to my knowledge, it was a congressman just, you know, mere, you know, dozens of feet away.
Yeah.
And he was protecting the inner sanctum. And I'm trying to remember the name of the woman, Ashley something. Obviously, I'd remember her first name. But she was the first one through. But she was getting help.
Yeah.
And so this is this classic charge, right? It's just like the driver who drove his robber to the bank, but the security guard killed the robber. That driver could be up on first degree murder. So that's a conspiracy murder. And so there could be people who face the same thing. If they helped Ashley through that window and the security agent shot her dead, they're going to be just like that driver.
Back to Aaron Sorkin for a moment. Will you weave a conversation like this in? Will you ask him about things beyond producing or writing?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I watched his acceptance speech last night where he quoted Abby Hoffman and then ended it with nothing could be more true than what I saw on January 6th. And it was like, there's my open door.
Yeah, really.
So,
you started it, sir, so it's fair game.
The parallels. Well, right, John, are you not astounded by the parallels with Chicago 7 and then the storming of the Capitol on the 6th and the charges that have ensued? It's so similar, and we're going to end up in a courtroom with a lot of people. There's several hundred people charged already. So I wonder if they're going to be fighting the same conspiracy, or I've never been on trial for myself before. I wonder if we're going to hear the same sorts of things.
Yeah, I don't know. And to be honest with you, until you started talking about it, I didn't see that connection, maybe because I wasn't thinking about the Chicago 7. Although we did interview the director of the movie. Well, it wasn't Aaron Sorkin. There were two movies out. One was a documentary. And we also talked to the only living prosecutor here in Chicago still who was on that case prosecuting the Chicago 7. And when he saw the movie, he went, yeah, that's not exactly it. But he, of course, he would say that because Abby Hoffman and the rest of them were portrayed very sympathetically, and it seemed like there was internal politics and a bit of a vendetta in the case of the prosecution. It'll be interesting to see how you kind of weave these things together. I'm watching the clock, Ashley. It's 11:18 now. Don't you have a meeting with people with clipboards to get to or something like that now?
They're all standing around me with their glasses on their head, tapping their pens.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. But well, that's listen, okay, John. I'll make time for you.
Well, just two more things then. So that's tonight, and then like the term paper that's due tomorrow night and the next night. Mm-hmm. What else is coming up this week? Do you know?
You bet. Tomorrow's Bryan Cranston, wow. One of my favorites. He's like, you know, I call him the Meryl Streep of male actors, you know?
Nice.
He's just so versatile and remarkable. And can I just share, he is one of the loveliest people I've ever met on the planet.
Hmm. Boy, that's not the way we see him on TV. He can be very angry and dangerous.
Yeah, lethal. He's the antithesis of his characters. Although, listen, his characters are all really nice people who do things for their family, it seems, and then turn into terrible people to try to protect their family. So he always weaves that good man somehow into his awful characters, but he really is just delightful.
That's a good point, because in that show, at the beginning, my recollection is we were rooting for him. Even as he then dabbled in drugs, you thought, well, he's such a good geeky guy. How could you not help pull for him? But then as the show developed, he was a monster and drew other people in. So good on you for getting him day two. What else is coming up this week?
We also are going to talk with first-time director and remarkable actress Robin Wright. She's just come off a project called Land, and it was shot in one of my favorite places in the world where I used to live in Calgary, Canada, and the Rockies. So I'm psyched to talk to her about that.
I've heard about that. My sister, in fact, broke out of the coronavirus quarantine to go see that movie this weekend. And
oh, she did? Oh, good. Robin will be glad to hear that.
I know. Tell her that she helped somebody safely, legally get out of the cocoon. I don't even know what that movie's about.
Well, it's really a beautifully shot movie in the Rockies. I mean, the scenes were so spectacular. They reminded me of, like, The Revenant. They reminded me of the Brad Pitt movie. Gosh, what am I forgetting? Forgetting the name of it. It was out, like, about 15 years ago.
Yeah,
shot
there. I'll think of it in a second.
Well. I'll think of it, too. But it was about a woman who went through a traumatic loss of family and then just tried to chuck it all and go and live in the woods until she ultimately expired, ignoring the concept of how to really treat trauma, you know, mental trauma like that. If you lose loved ones, very timely considering what we're going through in a country as a country right now, with 500,000 plus lost to coronavirus. But it's a really great concept, and she directs herself in this extraordinarily vulnerable character, which I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do any of it, but that in particular, I sat across from her in a scene that took 12 hours to shoot for House of Cards. And I remember just being in awe that we could be chit-chatting away as pals. And then as soon as it was like action, she just went, bing, and there was Claire Underwood freaking me out.
I was just going to say, and Claire Underwood is not vulnerable, you know, is so in control of things. And to see the trailer, which I did, and see her in something other than that was kind of, it made you appreciate maybe her craft. So three first guests, all of them kind of on TV or in film. Is that the kind of show, or is it going to be a scientist or an author or a politician or somebody else down the road too?
Yep. This week, you're also going to hear from the inimitable Keith Olbermann, who I find fascinating. That guy, his mind works so fast, and he has hopscotched between all the networks you can imagine in the alphabet and then back again. And I just think he's an intriguing character in this business, whose ultimate love is sports, but who I guess, you know, was hoofing it around in the news business for a while and extraordinarily successful at it. I mean, what he did for that hour at MSNBC had not been done before. And I can tell you that because it used to be my hour. So he did a lot better than I did. But he's a very remarkable guy. Love him or hate him, and people do, right? They love him or they hate him. And so it'll be fun to sort of navigate that dance with him as well.
Was it River Runs Through It or Legends of the Fall, maybe?
Legends of the Fall. Thank you. That's the one. Legends of the Fall. And it made me cry because I missed my time in the Rockies. I used to drive between Calgary and Lake Louise every single week to ski. And it's my happy place.
Ashley Banfield on the line, host of Banfield. I'll give you the channels again by number on Comcast, DirecTV, and Dish Network in just a second. 9 o'clock tonight. After you watch the news on News Nation, you'll watch her sit down for an hour with the likes of the folks we are talking about here. I think Olbermann will be fun for you, but now you're going to have to straddle that line that you've sort of drawn in the sand. He is polarizing. So if you side with him, that might be dangerous. If you push back, then you'll be seen as partisan. We've had this conversation before, but do you worry about that? Or what about that, Ashley?
No, because if I were at a cocktail party, I would want to have a conversation with people like Olbermann and, like I said before, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't think it's about me pushing back. I don't think it's about me arguing. That other cable hosts have that, you know, genre nailed. Mine is all about finding out what makes these people tick and what made them what they are and who they are. That's really the story I'm going after. So if anybody's expecting some kind of combat, I'm sorry to disappoint. I'm really digging into that person to figure out, A, what makes them tick, but also what is the magic that they have that propelled them to the top of their chosen fields, and can we all get a little something of that? I would love to know the secret sauce that these people have.
Well, and I think in the case of polarizing characters, we all say this, but we want the other side to do it. In the case of polarizing characters, though, say it's a Marjorie Taylor Greene, America is not going to make any progress unless, instead of just beating her up all of the time, we at least figure her out. You're not going to side with the stuff she said, but you've got to agree that it would be a good idea for us to at least step back and figure out how she is that way. Now, it's incumbent upon Democrats to try and do that for somebody like a Marjorie Taylor Greene as much as it is for conservatives to figure out somebody else like, I don't know, AJC. I don't know. You tell me the person that's polarizing on the other side. And I think that's easier said than done.
I mean, I do think that the conversation with Andrea Ocasio-Cortez is a critical one, because I think, you know, she said it herself. She could hear people coming to kill her. And why? What is it about her that they find so offensive? Let's find out. Let's find out what her life experience is. Let's find out how she got to the beliefs that she has. They are very, very far left in the party, mm-hmm. very, very progressive, making it difficult for some of the moderates in the party. You know, there's something there that I think people need to know about. If you're going to dislike someone, I really hope you know why.
Well, in the case of Marjorie Taylor Greene,
following the herd.
will you have a Marjorie Taylor Greene on?
Sure, if she'd come on, we put in the request. I really want to talk to these people. Why do they make headlines? Who are they? What are they made of? What got them to where they are and what they believe? What brought her into the QAnon movement in the first place? Yeah. What was dissatisfying? So even if you don't agree with it, don't you think it's important to know? I mean, you'll never figure out, you just said it, you'll never figure out the solution if you just stop listening to what irks someone.
Yeah, but we just want them to do the us. We, not, you know, I think everybody on side A wants side B to listen to them, and everybody on B wants the opposite for A. We all need to play that game. Comcast 223 tonight. Comcast Channel 223. DirecTV 307. If your Dish Network 239 is the channel to watch Banfield, and that's tonight at 9 o'clock here in Chicago. Okay, Ashley, go back to that meeting that I've pulled you away from, and good luck tonight. I can't wait to see it. I know, boy, with that lineup and with your skills, it's going to be a hit.
Oh, thank you, John. It's good to talk to you. We should just put this on the calendar regularly, you and me.
Careful what you ask for, Ashley. Stay well.
Love you, man.
That's Ashley Banfield, and the show is her last name.